hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Good morning, church. It's a pleasure to be with you today on Mother's Day, a day of celebration, and I know for some, a day of separation. It can be a day of mixed emotions, and we acknowledge that. May you know God's grace and peace today, and His joy, we hope, as well. Today I want to speak to all of us from the Psalms. The Psalms are known as Israel's prayer book, and one that we can use to take a moment to reflect. Psalm 34 is known as the ABCs of getting through. Nearly every verse begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And whether it's a crisis or just the difficulty of getting through the day, it's a great place to go. Today we're going to look at the first 10 verses. And this morning, let these words wash over you as we read them together.
So I'm going to read us Psalm 34.
I will praise the Lord all times. I will constantly speak His praise. I'll boast only to the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt His name together. I prayed to the Lord and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge on Him. Fear the Lord, who you His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes get hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Yay!
Thank you, Zoe. Today I want to talk to the hard workers, those who know how to get stuff done, those who maybe like me have the strength of responsibility, or you're an achiever, or someone who needs to get things done to feel like a complete human being. Now, I know there are those amongst us who have found Elite Level 4 and 3 to be quite dull, really. We've taken a break from our job and been at home by ourselves, and we've embraced the almost nothingness of this time. We've leaned into our solitude, we've become like holy monks. But I think the truth is that most people are either run off their feet with responsibilities or feel like they're slowly dying because they can't be as active as they want to be. You can't wait to get back to actually doing stuff. Let's think of an example of this on this day. Why not think of mothers? I know that the mums out there often never stop getting things done. Take my amazing wife, for example. I was thinking this week about some of the things she gets up to and making things happen around here.
For example, she will put the clothes into the wash. Towels, whites, colours, socks. Ugh. She puts things into the dishwasher. She wipes the bench. She takes the clothes, she puts them on the clotheshorse. She puts things into the dishwasher. She does the weeding. She takes the clothes, she takes them off the clotheshorse. She does the baking. She feeds the children. Can I have some?
No.
Can I?
No.
She puts things into the dishwasher. She empties the rubbish into the rubbish bin. And the recycling into the recycling bin. Did I get that the right way around? She vacuums too. Thanks very much.
She even makes great food for all of us as a family. Okay, kids, time for food.
She puts things into the dishwasher.
She even does a job for the church, working and creating great videos and resources for our kids. Because there's no space anywhere else, she's decided to do this. Pull out the sock drawer. Grab the shelf from the shed. Put on the computer. Instant workstation. She even cleans the toilet. She manages to homeschool one of our children. What are you up to today?
I'm doing a topic, I'm doing maths, I'm doing writing, I'm doing art, and I'm building a bridge.
And at the same time, she plays with our other daughter. What are we playing?
Babies.
Babies. Can I be a baby? Yeah, you get back to work.
Yeah.
No.
She puts things into the dishwasher.
Joanna, I think we might be out of toilet paper. My wife works hard. Now, I do some of the stuff around the place as well. Please don't send me emails about giving her all of the household jobs. But I admit that she does carry the load while I'm working. A lot of mums do. The incredible thing is that they do it all with this expectation that they're to be calm and loving and patient. I know there are some mums who are even doing more. They're working full time as well as holding the expectation that they should be able to do all the things around the house. Maybe you have newborns or preschoolers, and this is a constant reality, whether it's COVID-19 or not. It's hard. I also know some dads are either taking place of a mum, or they just naturally do this stuff anyway. And they're supposed to do all of this with a smile on their face. Mum and dads, you are awesome. And one thing about mums is that they're generous. You may have heard a few mums over this time saying, "Here, I'd like to give you a gift. Does anyone want to have my child?" Or mums are also good at giving two-for-one offers. So they might have said, "If you want one, you can have the other." That's what mums are like. They're always giving good gifts. And we need to make sure we get them a great gift this Mother's Day. Mums have pressure to be high-level achievers. But they're not the only ones. We can also be hard workers in our relationship with God. I was reading about this phenomenon this week. Someone wrote, when a God-loving, passionate, and motivated person reads his or her Bible, every command feels like a personal assignment. This is incredible, at least for a while. But our desire to show our love for God through our obedience, it seems to mean that we get some things wrong. We read verses about the work we are to do, about the kind of people we are to become. We read Matthew 5:48, which says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And we misread other scriptures, such as Philippians 4:13, "I must do all things through him who strengthens me." And we see this as more work. And what do we think? We think Christianity is about work. We have to do it all, or we're not a good Christian. We need to force ourselves to read the Bible, to pray, to do good to others, to be patient, to love, to have self-control. And if you're a get it done, show that I'm good enough, tick the box type of person, then this morning's message today, this is for you. Often the advice that we give to busy people is to stop being busy. And at times that's useful advice, but it can feel a bit frustrating and discouraging. It's all well and good to tell me to stop, but there are still things to do. There can be a sense of, if I stop doing things, then the world will fall apart. What's going to happen? Are the kids going to take care of things? Phil Parks pointed me towards this Mother's Day video on YouTube this week, which accurately describes what happens if we stop trying.
It's Mother's Day. Help out around the house and do dishes for Mom.
What was that?
Or what happens when our family does try hard to do something nice for us, but maybe can't quite do it right?
This Mother's Day, help out Mom by making her breakfast in bed.
See, we can't just give up on our responsibilities. but we do need a word of peace and grace. How do we see God move when we can't change our situation? Today's reading is the first 10 verses of Psalm 34. We pray as we go through these verses that they may be both a challenge and an encouragement for you. The circumstances around it are quite unusual. It's from David, who found himself in a really vulnerable position, a challenging situation. In 1 Samuel 21, David is running from King Saul, who was trying to kill him. He runs to the king of Gath, named Achish, but the commanders talk about how mighty he is, and David becomes concerned that Achish will do something to him. So he pretends to be insane. He starts scratching on doors and drooling on his beard. You might look at David and think, he was a guy who knew what he was doing. He was self-sufficient. His song might go, "I figured it out. I'm so clever. I'm alive. Hooray." Or if he was humble, he might sing about how he had a mad idea and that it was crazy that it worked. Good puns for a song, right? Instead, he says the reason he got through was because of God. He saw that God was at work while he was at work. God was involved, even in his mad ideas. He wasn't doing nothing, waiting to see what God was going to do, but he was moving forward, even though he didn't have a great plan. We too need to know that God is at work when we're at work, and we can be aware of him in all moments. As we call on God, let's see how it makes a difference for us. Let's dive in. Psalm 34, 1-2. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. The helpless take heart. David says his boast is in the Lord, not himself. He praises God, not his own efforts. He sums this up by encouraging those who are helpless to take heart. We need to recognize our helplessness. This can be hard. We're so used to showing everyone that we've got it all together. For the person who's doing everything, though, there needs to come a time when they recognize they cannot do everything. When the list is complete, there'll still be another list. You may please that person 100 times, but there will always be 101st time. To experience what God wants for you, you need to begin with a sense of helplessness. St. Augustine says, God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. Today, can I encourage you to come to him with an openness that comes from knowing where you stand before him? It begins with each of us being humble. God's grace is the only thing that will make a difference for the rich or the poor, for the righteous or the wicked, for the self-indulged lost person and the God-focused found person. We need to come to him humble. David recognized it in his situation, and we do too. We need to do that. Verse 3 and 4. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. David's experience is that God does answer prayer. You might say, hang on, David, wasn't your deliverance due to your work? Wasn't it because of your cleverness? No, he says. It was all God. It wasn't what I chose to do, but what he did through me. Did he stop working and wait for something miraculous to happen? No. But he did it with a different attitude and direction. It began with prayer and it led to action. So it must be for us. David also says that God frees us from all of our fears. David's fear was for his life, but the hard worker is ruled by much more subtle concerns. They're working because deep down they're scared of something. They fear a possible future reality that they want to avoid. David was scared for his life, but he was relieved from these fears. Today, what is it you are most fearing? Is it a loss of position? Is it a loss of favor? Is it a loss of control? As we come to God, we forget these fears because God relieves them. Prayer turns fears into faith and transforms our work's motivation. Verse 5. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. This is particularly true of David. He acted the crazy man, but he experiences no shame. So it is for all who follow Jesus. Think of the freedom we experience through the cross. We're not only free from the dark prison of shame, but we don't even have the shadow of shame on our face. We don't need to act out of it, and we certainly don't need to feel it. Verse 6 and 7. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by the responsibilities in your life? You have a family to look after. You have a job to do. You have to maintain your relationship with God. It can feel all-encompassing. It can feel discouraging. However, the scripture tells us that if we revere God's greatness, then we should feel surrounded by him. Imagine David running from King Saul. Everywhere he goes, he seems to be surrounded by enemies. At the moment, however, he can see that the presence of God surrounds him. The presence of God. May you experience that too. Verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Repeatedly we're reading of what happens when we choose to bring our lives to God in humility. It could be easy to confine these results only to David's situation. However, like a scientist who sets up a hypothesis and then seeks to prove or disprove it, David says that his experience is replicable and it's quantifiable. It's replicable. David, after going through all of this, commends his approach to us. He's saying that the goodness of God he has experienced is not just a one-off experience, but it's universal. Taste and see. You can see it. It's also quantifiable. The goodness of God will be noticeable in every situation. And what does it look like to experience this goodness? The second part of the verse tells us, oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Twice now we've been told about the joy of giving our situation to God. This is not the cry of the overachiever. Getting things done does not bring joy. It actually seems to do the opposite. Well, it might prevent us from pain, but it doesn't bring us joy. In contrast, God wants to bring to our way of work, our way of life, not just joy, but joys, that every moment would be filled with joy. Wouldn't it be good to know that? Finally, verses 9 and 10. Fear the Lord, you, his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. We've come full circle. We began with helplessness and we end with dependence. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will have all they need. So we fear him. We believe him. We look to him for our help. We seek him for hope, joy, and freedom. And imagine your life if this was a reality every day. It begins by taking time in prayer, laying your life before God. So let's do that now. And I want to encourage you kids, if you're there, just for a little bit, leave mum alone. I know it's probably been 20 seconds since you've jumped all over her and you want to jump all over her again, but just for a moment, give her some space. Give dad some space too. Take some space yourself. And let's take a moment to come to God in prayer. Can you come with a reflective heart and attitude this morning? First of all, bring to him your work, your to-do list, all those things that you need to get done. Lay out your concerns. Tell him about your situation, about what you're going through right now. Express to him your helplessness, how you need him. Tell him you want to experience his goodness. And then this morning, let him fill you with his grace as he brings an increase of hope and of joy. Let's take a moment in reflection. Let's take a moment to receive from God. Just close your eyes where you are right now and begin to do this. Lord, this morning we bring to you our lives. God, we bring to you every part of ourselves. God, we come to you in need of peace, in need of grace. Lord, there are times where we feel overwhelmed by what's going on. We feel out of control. Thank you, God, that that's okay. That when we're out of control, we don't need to fear. Because we know you're in control. You're in charge, God. And we trust you with all that is happening in our world. Lord, I pray this morning that as we come in dependence upon you, to say, God, we fear you above all other things. That some of those concerns that we've been feeling, Lord, that we would be able to lift them off our shoulders this morning. Lord, I pray for a special blessing right now of your grace and your peace on mums, on dads. Lord, that this juggling act that we're still at the moment, Lord, that we would be able to do it and know that we can still experience joy through it. Because you are with us, God. You ask us, or you commend us through David, through his words, as they become our words, to call upon you. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And so this morning, God, we pray that you would free us from all of our fears. Thank you for that this morning. Jesus, you are our King, and we love you. We worship you today. You are never going to let us down. And we pray, God, as we sing this final song, Lord, that it would be a prayer from our hearts, that you would be life for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.